Amen. Thank you, praise team. Have a seat, please. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 2. Children can be dismissed to junior church. The Endangered Species Act was enacted in 1973. And the Endangered Species Act protected many animals from extinction, from the danger of becoming extinct. And most of you know that the Supreme Court in that same year, in the Roe versus Wade decision, decided that a woman's right to privacy was more important than the lives of those unborn children that were in their wombs. And so the woman had the right to choose what they would do with their own bodies. The Endangered Species Act extended protection to the unhatched offspring of eagles, both golden eagles and bald eagles. And even the nests of those eagles were protected under law. And everyone knows that eagles come from eggs. God designed the hard shell of the egg as a protective covering for the eagles because they become, before they become viable life outside of the egg. Mother eagles make nests to protect their fertilized eggs and then their newly hatched offspring. Everyone who is honest will admit that human beings come from wombs, just like eaglets come from eggs. God designed the womb as a protective covering for babies before they can live on their own outside of their mother. Psalm 139, David said, "Thou hast possessed my reins, my inner being. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." That is, while inside of the womb where no one could see. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, still forming as a fetus. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." God told Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Who could tell what significant purpose God had or would have used those 500 or those 50 million babies to accomplish who have been extinguished legally in our country since 1973 in that infamous decision? Let me just say that since Congress has not has failed to pass a pro-human life amendment, one must conclude that eagles and the 1,214 other animal species they took initiative to protect are more valuable in their estimation than human beings. That sends a chill down your back when you think about it. If we reconsider the beginning of creation, we can maintain an accurate view of life. And that's what I want us to do for just a few minutes this morning. Notice Genesis 2 and verse 7. It's in your notes if you don't have your Bible. The Bible says there, "The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Life emanates from God. In him is life. He's the author of life. He's the giver of life. And we need to recognize that again. Job 33, Job said, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life." Paul preached to the Athenians, and he told them that God gives to all life and breath and all things. Medical authorities determine a person to be alive if there's a detectable heartbeat or brainwave activity. With that in mind, it's eye-opening for some to realize that unborn children have detectable heartbeats at 18 days, 2.5 weeks after conception. And detectable brainwave activity 40 days, that's a little over 5.5 weeks after conception. What's so shocking is that essentially 100% of abortions happen after the 7th week of pregnancy, after there's a detectable brainwave activity and after there's a detectable heartbeat. Life emanates from God. We have no right to destroy it. Genesis 2:17 says that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. God told Adam and Eve, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And to eat of it would be to disobey God, and therefore that's sin. And we should recognize again that life is destroyed by sin. It's destroyed by sin. 1 Peter 3:10 in your notes says that he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You want to love life, you avoid sin and you follow the Lord. I read the Humanist Manifesto again in preparing for my message today. The Humanist Manifesto applies satanic wisdom to its worldview. The wisdom of the Humanist Manifesto comes not down from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Here's what they say. Let me give you a couple of quotes from it. Happiness and the creative realization of human needs and desires, individually and in shared enjoyment, are continuous themes of humanism. We strive for the good life, here and now. As in 1933, humanists still believe that traditional theism, especially faith in the prayer-hearing God, assumed to live and care for persons, to hear and understand their prayers, and to be able to do something about them, is an unproved and outmoded faith. Salvationism based on mere affirmation still appears as harmful, diverting people with false hopes of heaven hereafter. Reasonable minds look to other means for survival. Traditional moral values fail to meet the pressing needs of today and tomorrow. False theologies of hope and messianic ideologies cannot cope with existing world realities. Humanism can provide the purpose and inspiration that so many seek. It can give personal meaning and significance to human life. As non-theists, we believe with humans, we begin with humans, not God. Nature, not deity. No deity can save us. We must save ourselves. Promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation are both illusory and harmful. They distract humans from present concerns and from self-actualization and from rectifying social injustices. Ethics, they say, is autonomous and situational, needing no theological or ideological sanction. Ethics stems from human need and interest. In the area of sexuality, we believe that intolerant attitudes often cultivated by orthodox religions and puritanical cultures unduly repress sexual conduct. The right to birth control, abortion, and divorce should be recognized. While we do not approve of exploitive, denigrating forms of sexual expression, neither do we wish to prohibit by law or social sanction sexual behavior between consenting adults. The many varieties of sexual exploration should not in themselves be considered evil. To enhance freedom and dignity, the individual must experience a full range of civil liberties in all societies. It also includes a recognition of individuals' rights to die with dignity, euthanasia, and the right to suicide. We deplore the division of humankind on nationalistic grounds. We've reached a turning point in human history where the best option is to transcend the limits of national sovereignty and to move toward the building of a world community in which all sectors of the human family can participate. Thus, we look to the development of a system of world law and world order based upon a transnational federal government. In other words, they want a world government. They want abortion. They want to disassociate from any biblical view of life. And some of the signers were Isaac Asimov, B.F. Skinner, professor of psychology at Harvard, and Alan Guttmacher, who is the president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Margaret Sanger was also a humanist, and she founded the American Birth Control League. Margaret Sanger wrote, and let me give you a quote from her. You ought to study a little bit about Margaret Sanger. If you think Planned Parenthood has some beneficial value, go back on the internet and just research the name Margaret Sanger. Check out her association with Adolf Hitler and the Ku Klux Klan. You'll be surprised about the roots of Planned Parenthood. Here's what Margaret Sanger wrote. She said, quote, "I believe that now immediately there should be national sterilization for certain dysgenic types of our population who are being encouraged to breed and would die out were the government not feeding them." She later changed the name of her organization, the American Birth Control League, to one that might be more palatable to the American populace, calling it Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood provides more surgical and chemical abortions than any other organization in America. Since the Great Society programs of Lyndon Baines Johnson, they've been the recipients of taxpayer dollars in ever-increasing amounts. As I said a little earlier, this year Planned Parenthood will receive more than $1 million a day from American taxpayers. This needs to stop. It's a travesty. It's wrong. Planned Parenthood and the humanists think they have a better way to live than God's way, but their way is the way of death. Proverbs 8:36 says, "He that sins against me," speaking of wisdom personified, "he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. All they that hate me," hate God's wisdom, hate God's word, "love death." That's why they're in favor of euthanasia. That's why they're in favor of abortion. That's why they're in favor of humanly opposing styles of life and all kinds of forbidden sexuality. Under President Obama's directive recently, the National Institutes of Health, unless Congress intervenes, will determine what, if any, boundaries there might be on how we obtain human embryos for use in stem cell research. See, humanists are tenaciously determined to keep destroying human embryos to experiment with their stem cells, even though adult stem cells have proven to be tremendously healing, and embryo stem cells have never healed anybody of anything. But with no clear policy in the White House, you and I could be footing the bill for research that clones embryos just to scavenge their parts. And if this is the case, our policy will condone the creation of life for the sole purpose of experimenting on it. Shades of Nazi Germany. Ronald Green, a Dartmouth College bioethicist, that's a good word, said that there's his quote, "There are a lot of people on the left and on the right of our political spectrum who are opposed to that, to create life, to destroy it." President Obama justified the idea saying, quote, "As a person of faith, I believe we're called to work to ease human suffering. But killing to cure doesn't make murder more acceptable. Just like giving stolen goods to a church wouldn't make larceny justifiable. Life is destroyed by sin." Mark it down. The pleasures of seasonal sin are brief, but sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Something else in Genesis, look at Genesis 3 and verse 4. The serpent, which is the personification of the devil, said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." God told them that they would die if they ate the fruit. They'd be separated from him, from peace, joy, and love, and from their existence which he intended for eternity. The serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods." You'll be able to make your own decisions and be a self-centered individual like a God, knowing good and evil. The Humanist Manifesto says, as humanists, we believe we begin with humans, not God. Basically, the same thing the serpent said to Eve. So we can conclude from that verse that life cannot be improved through sin. It cannot be improved through sin. Romans 6:21, speaking to believers, said, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." There are a lot of shameful things that are being advocated under the guise of humanistic fulfillment and self-actualization. Proverbs 9:17 says, "Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." This is the harlot speaking to a young man. But the wise proverb says, "He knows not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." Proverbs 20:17 says, "Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel." We would be wise to follow Moses, as he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen? Amen. We need to follow the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, "She that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives." And then one more verse, Genesis 3:21. "Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Once they sinned, they realized in their state of fallenness that they were naked and they were ashamed. So they vainly attempted to cover themselves, and God had to provide. How did he provide? He had to slay an animal. That innocent animal's skin was then made into a garment to clothe them. The point is that God must provide, and God will alone be able to restore life by his grace to us. Life is restored by grace. Look at Exodus 12 and verse 5. If you flip over there real quick in your Bibles. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5. This initial provision of the Lord in slaying the innocent animal to cover the shame of Adam and Eve is a first reference to the fact that he would have to come himself and be the innocent substitute and sacrifice to pay for our sins and redeem us and restore our life and relationship with him. Exodus 12 and verse 5, the children of Israel were told to slay the Passover lamb, which pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. In Exodus 12:5, he says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, making sure that it's spotless and free of disease and innocent. And then the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And when the death angel passes by and he sees the blood, he'll pass over that house." And we need the blood to be applied so that there can be life, so that we can have freedom, so that we can have a relationship with the Lord. God offers his undeserved favor through Jesus Christ so that you may love the Lord, so that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him. For as Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20 says, "He is thy life and the length of thy days." And he says, "Come unto me, that you might have life." So as we draw near to God, we'll uphold life, we'll have life personally, and it'll be not just life, but life more abundant. We need to be lovers of life, amen? And we do that as we relate to the Lord. Life emanates from God. It's destroyed by sin. It can't be improved through sin. It's restored, however, by God's grace. God's ways are ways of pleasantness, and all his paths are peace. So let's come to a new resolution today. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to exalt life in him. We're going to protect life, defend life, and present life in Jesus Christ once we've received him as our own personal Lord and Savior. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Our Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. And we ask that you'd help us to be aware of the subtle lies of our enemy as he would seek through earthly wisdom, such as we have just thought about and read about, to dissuade us and detract us from following the truth as it is in Jesus. I pray you'd bless each one here today. Help us to be defenders and promoters and embracers of life and the truth that sets us free. And Lord, if there's one here today who's never come to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, may they come and see that we can come to Him and find new life, find forgiveness and peace with God. Bless this time of decision, whatever the need. Maybe there's a wounded heart here today that's been deceived by the devil. Perhaps abortion's been in the past, and that pain is still there. Perhaps there's one here that's considering even this awful alternative to life. And Lord, most of all, maybe there's one here that's never come to Christ that they might have life. And we pray that in this time of decision, we would come to Christ and find in Him life and that more abundant and the will and way of God for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.